appear courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaqueros now delivers and offers curbside pickup. For info on placing your lunch or dinner order, visit vaqueroscafe.com. Now, Austin's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I am the eyes and ears of this institution, my friends.
The manager of baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy League.
He's worth a million in prizes.
It's our fantasy baseball draft.
Your fantasy what?
The fantasy baseball. I told you all about this. Got Matsui.
All your fantasy sports updates.
It's a numbers game.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
All right, welcome to another hour of the Wagner Wire, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com. I'm just updating my fantasy rosters, as I'm sure all of you guys are too, right? I mean, it's the Sunday slate of the divisional matchups here in the NFL, divisional playoffs here. What say you? I mean, anything can happen. Titans go out, Packers go out.
I mean, like, there's no real safe play. You're
really
look at your weather conditions.
Seriously, look at your weather conditions because they will play a factor. They definitely play a factor. How about that defense yesterday by the Titans? 9 sacks. My goodness.
Yeah, who would have thought 9 times?
9 times.
Nine times, Mr. Bueller.
Unbelievable.
Actually, love that movie.
9 times.
I don't remember him being absent 9 times, but he was. He was absent from blocking somebody 9 times. And yeah, speaking about the 80s, last segment we were just into it, we were talking about how the 80s might have been the best decade in terms of music. Oh. How about movies, too? Are you there with movie? Like, in terms of...
nostalgia speaking?
In terms of, like, cult classics.
Let's see. So Red Dawn.
Good one.
Roadhouse. I guess all the Swayzes.
Rambos. How about Rambos?
Rambos.
All the Swayzes. First off, can we... Patrick Swayze, just off the top of your list. I mean, that was the first one you went to.
He just 80s. Happened to be in those last two movies I first mentioned. They're like... I guess St. Elmo's Fire, if you want to get...
Now,
like,
you want to go with the Brat Pack. Or
yeah.
Wait, is it? Yeah, these are... This is the Brat Pack, right?
Yes.
The Brat Pack is in the 60s, and
yeah.
The Brat Pack is
Joey,
like,
Bishop,
Emilio!
And Sinatra. Exactly. Yeah. That guy.
That guy. Richard Grieco. No, that's not who we're talking
no,
about. But no, but the,
but
the Brat Pack was like Molly Ringwald and Andrew McCarthy, right? Andrew McCarthy was part of
it. Who's the guy?
Rob Lowe. Is Rob Lowe part of the Brat Pack?
Yes. And who's the kid? Is it Michael Anthony Hall?
Anthony Michael Hall.
Thank you.
Anthony Michael. I don't like this. I got to get this chair up here.
I was like, that chair has been giving you problems this whole show.
Well, I mean, I can't see you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to talk to you and have a conversation with you.
We're impeded by the monitors.
Impeded,
the technology.
Yes,
The
technology, it does.
But it also utilizes it.
Yeah, I guess.
Because
so.
I didn't realize that this whole possible reboot of Quantum Leap would touch so many people. Like, they're actually...
So people really watched USAA or USA Network back in the day. I mean, Victor Cruz, he's all over with me. He's just like, yes, the best shows on, on USA was Silk Stockings and Up All Night with Gilbert Godfrey and Rhonda. Absolutely.
Rhonda Shearer, yeah.
Taking me back in my heyday, in my prime.
Dude, those were good times back when I was just like a kid and you were looking for some like late night television after like Monday Night Raw.
After Monday Night Raw.
You were saying, did you ever watch Swamp Thing?
I don't think I did.
Okay. That came on like at that same time period, maybe a little bit later in the evening. But I do remember them having like a live action Swamp Thing. Is that Marvel? That DC?
I don't know. I think that's DC. So let me ask you this. Speaking in, I don't know how I can transition and segue from Swamp Thing to Aaron Rodgers here, but I'm going to try to.
Oh,
maybe
totally
because he looks like a Swamp Thing with that.
Exactly. I was like, it works.
What's on the table for Aaron Rodgers? Like, where do you think he goes next? Do you think he stays in Green Bay for this whole rebuilding process, or do you think he and Davante Adams exit stage right and Davante ends up somewhere, and Aaron Rodgers ends up, say, Denver or Pittsburgh, which I think Pittsburgh is better suited for Aaron Rodgers right now.
First off, he's going to have a lot of money on the table, regardless of the decision that he makes. He
17 years. How much do you invest in that? Or this will be his 18th season.
Yeah, even if he decides to walk away from the game, there's going to be money for his services somewhere.
Right.
You know, as a commentator, like somebody will pay him big money to talk. Regardless if you agree with what he says or not, people listen to what he has to say. So,
but you think, like, his best playing days are still...
He still has
ahead
some
of
left
him,
in
right?
the tank.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he's taking care of himself the way that, you know, Tom Brady is taking care of himself, like LeBron James is taking care of himself and playing the way that he is right now, and that's through that broken toe most of the year, then yeah, I still think that he has at least a couple of...
He's the best quarterback in the... I mean, but...
He was this year. I thought that he was.
Last year he was too.
But it's like, you know, there's always a drop-off at some point, and you just never know when it's going to come. Like, you look at Ben Roethlisberger, and it's just like overnight... It was just like, you know, it went from like, you know, bad to just awful. Same thing with Peyton Manning.
I know what you're saying there, but Peyton Manning's was a nerve, like that happened. That was a nerve injury that kind of really started.
Yeah, the neck the whole thing. Setback. And he always had the neck thing.
Right. And then with Ben Roethlisberger, you can take one look at him and tell that he does not take his health that seriously.
I just think he couldn't. He just didn't have the knees anymore to do it.
Well, it's not just true. One, I mean, you're going to take it. Pain takes its toll,
man,
that's for sure.
You're right. We've seen some of these former athletes, you know, walk
but
around
But Aaron Rodgers
here.
Looks like he's in shape. Like, yeah, he is in shape. Like, he can get out, he can move, he's still mobile. He's able to extend the play when he needs to and, you know, get it vertical downfield. He's able to make plays with his legs. I still think that he's got at least three or four really good seasons of top quarterback play.
So the one question I want to ask, because I haven't heard it yet, though, is who's this loss put on? Is it put on Aaron Rodgers because he couldn't win at home?
The special teams gave up a blocked field goal and they gave up a blocked punt that led to a touchdown. It's special teams.
Yeah, but this is also Aaron Rodgers. Like, this is a guy that should be able to engineer a comeback in any situation because he is the best quarterback in the league. I feel if you are the best quarterback in the league, you should be able to do something to help your team win in this type of situation. And I just don't know if he did enough yesterday. Or did he do more than enough? And that's what my question
is. He had a clean game. He didn't throw an interception. He didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, but that doesn't lead to like winning football. Necessarily. Well, it helps, but you know, sometimes you need more than a game manager. And like,
oh, Justin, Aaron Rodgers is not a game manager.
I know he
we
isn't.
Had we were playing in or so, they were playing in 0 degree weather.
Yeah.
He threw 225 yards. He went 20 for 29. Very efficient and proficient football.
I agree. So if the loss isn't on him, is it really just simply on the special teams?
It is on special teams in coaching. I can't even go to coaching. I would just say special teams play. Like, they're the worst special teams in the league. That was shown yesterday.
Yeah.
Shanahan took advantage of it, dialed up a punt block in a needed play with 4 minutes left in the game, a very crucial and critical play. Not only did they get the block, they got the scoop and score with it. Got them right back into the game. I mean, that was it, dude. And then all of a sudden, you go down there, you can't, you know, the Packers are trying to make a drive, and then, my goodness, you got to give it right back to San Francisco. They come down, and Robbie Gould, who's been nothing but gold almost his entire career, that's why he's had a lot of longevity in the NFL. He's still kicking, and he puts it right down the middle. I mean,
yeah,
it's not a choke job on Aaron Rodgers by any means. It's just bad special teams play. I mean, you're talking about a turn of 10 points that the special teams let up. I mean, they had a blocked field goal that didn't go their way, and they had, you know, they surrendered the 7 points. That's atrocious. That you're never going to win. You can't win any game if you give the opposing team 10 points.
You think that Tom Brady would have lost the same type of situation?
100. Well, let's not forget that Tom Brady threw a pick six in Foxborough and then rode off in the Tampa Bay, or rode out to Tampa Bay. Like, it's still, and I'll still say that Tom Brady is the GOAT. I mean, but at this point, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL. I'll die on that hill.
Well, I know that Tennessee would definitely be in the market for his services, right. Yeah, you know, after the way that Tannehill played.
And Tannehill's not a bad quarterback, but Tannehill played a atrocious game last night.
You know what it really is.
Yesterday.
Because he's an Aggie.
Hey, he went, he kind of went Aggie.
I can say that, though, because I went
You can, back. You're an Aggie, but I mean, no, I mean, to me, Aaron Rodgers played a hell of a game. They had a good scheme. They had a good scheme dialed up. Here's the thing, and this is what I said in the first segment. The worst the weather got in that game, ironically, I thought it favored San Francisco because of the running scheme, the tight end play with George Kittle. They were able to do the nasty stuff better, and where Green Bay is built more for finesse, in my opinion.
Yeah, but right, that doesn't make any sense if you play in Green Bay to be built for finesse.
100%, but I mean, that
showed yesterday.
But that's, again, that leads me to say I believe that's more built on, or it's more put on the front office with personnel and instead of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, they made the right move by signing, Davante Adams? Right?
Davante Adams is the best. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL. Like, where these two go, especially if they go to, if both of them somehow wind up in Denver, which is impossible, Denver will be contender for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I just don't see any team being able to afford to pay both what they deserve to be paid and what they're going to ask for. I don't see them taking a cut just to win a Super Bowl.
I don't see both of them playing at the same team next year, unless it's Green Bay.
Yeah, and I really don't see that happening, honestly. I mean, there was so much, I guess, kerfuffle.
We'll see. Do we have anything from Aaron Rodgers?
Not yet.
We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers coming up here on his decision on where he thinks he's going to go. But
you threw out Pittsburgh. I mean, that seems
Pittsburgh
like
seems to be the number one destination for me.
I'm thinking,
in my opinion, for Aaron Rodgers.
And I'll go back to what we said.
They're built now. They got Waddle on the other end. You know, on the other side of the ball, Fitzpatrick, a defense that can keep you in a game and take the ball away and get you the ball back.
Well, look,
then he's got some weapons to roll with.
Look, I don't want to curse like TJ Watt or anything, but if he's anything like he's good, right? And if he's as good as his brother, probably going to be better, but it's just like, man, I'm just concerned about possible injuries down the road because you saw what happened to JJ in his career, and it's just kind of like,
TJ Watt's nasty, dude.
Yeah, I completely understand. So was JJ in his prime. It was just like, you know, injuries added up.
Sure, reps. I mean, you got a certain amount of
Watt,
reps.
You wonder if it's going to affect this Watt. And you went back to defense, and I'm like, man, you know, for the Niners not having Bosa available because of the neck thing, I was like, that was quite impressive.
Bosa was there. Bosa played last night.
Oh, did he actually play for that? Dang, man.
Yeah, Bosa played.
I was all like, dude.
He was
No, you didn't.
I thought it slipped.
No,
but yeah, Bosa actually had a strip.
Sack.
Well, they recovered the ball, but he had a strip sack, but they recovered the ball.
Man, I'm surprised he played after that knock he took against Dallas the previous week then. So impressed.
Playoffs, baby. Playoffs, dude.
Big money contract,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
And you're talking about Aaron Rodgers. I'm thinking that he's going to go to, I think he should strongly consider Indianapolis. You talk about offensive weapons available to him. He has, like, the best running back available to him, something that they could have definitely used yesterday.
Indianapolis would be a good fit.
And he has a great offensive line in front of him that's just starting to get even better.
I joked earlier and said he doesn't need to go there because Sam Ehlinger. Like, Sam Ehlinger could also, like, he can make the plays right now, but Sam Ehlinger needs to be under tutelage and learn, and he doesn't need to be thrown to the wolves right now. I think that's what happened to Carson Wentz, and you're seeing a banged-up Carson Wentz start to just decompose almost on the field.
He wilted hard under the pressure, too. Man, I wasn't expecting him to have that type of performance after the way he started off, or at least played midway through the season, because he didn't start off well either. But he was playing through those injuries.
I don't want to speak to pressure. I mean, I've never been on the football field at a professional level, so I don't want to speak to pressure.
Yeah.
So I just know the injuries that he succumbed, I feel, have taken a toll on his play.
They take away
his
a piece of you. That's
100%.
And they've probably taken a piece of him already. You know, you can see that the zip is not always there, or that one step slower than it used to be.
Well, I think what Carson Wentz was, what he did so well, was in that RPO system in Philly under Peterson. Like, I mean, he was able to use his legs and you know, keep defenses honest, and then have the holes open up over the middle in that nose zone, and able to take advantage of the slot there. And I think for me, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you do go to Indianapolis, that is the one of the more attractive things that Indianapolis does, is you have an offensive line that's going to be able to keep him upright, and he's going to be able to carve people up over the middle.
Oh yeah, and you get
like
to play.
He's got great tight end. Like there's great tight end play where within Indianapolis.
Yeah, they got like two good tight ends.
And now Pittman Jr., I mean, yeah. I'm not saying that Pittman Jr. can develop into the wide receiver that Devontae Adams is, because I do, like, I used to think Nuke Hopkins is the best wide receiver in the NFL, and he makes tremendous catches, but the most consistent wide receiver the past 3 years has been Devontae Adams, doing it at a top-tier level.
Yeah. Game in, game out.
You know, you can argue that it's because he's got Aaron Rodgers as well, but he is, like, game in, game out. It's Devontae Adams. He puts up numbers, dude.
Well, like, he might not be able to develop into Devontae Adams by himself, but, I mean, giving you a
with Aaron Rodgers,
yeah, it's going to mask a lot of shortcomings that a wide receiver might have, because he can correct a lot of simple things by the way that he will play and how offense have to tailor their game for the way and his style of quarterbacking. But that, and he can just make all the throws. So you just know that he's going to be able to deliver it wherever you happen to be in a catchable spot. So, yeah, any wide receiver is going to love having a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, obviously. And Indianapolis just seems to be the right fit in the sense that all these teams, especially in free agency, you know, have a window like that. That rookie contract for a quarterback is so important because it gives you so much more room
to
build leverage.
The team has, like, exactly. But you have, and that's what we're, I think we're going to see with the Rams, right? Is that they were on that rookie contract with Goff. They were able to build up that entire team, mm-hmm. and now, man, that window is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. How much longer do you think the Rams have in this window? A year,
this
maybe two?
This might be it, honestly. And it's kind of like, that's how I feel with Dallas. Like, this was the window. Like, that's why I'm so bummed that they lost, because I still obviously heard about it now, because this was the window. You just paid Dak and Zeke big money.
Right.
You can't
The problem
build.
Is the better running back is...
Yeah,
Tony Pollard.
Yeah, he should have played more. But yeah, you can't build anymore because you spent all your money. You know, and don't get me wrong, I understand that you need like at least a top 10 quarterback. Obviously, the best quarterbacks in the league are still in the playoffs. So that just shows you in the divisional round, even before the eliminations yesterday, that just shows you how important quarterback play is in the NFL. So either...
Dude, 100%. Yeah. I mean, look at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I mean, you go, you're hellacious for years, right? Or I won't say years, but since Carson Palmer left.
They didn't win a playoff game in like 20-something years. You can say that. It's good.
But I mean, but they also had Carson Palmer there as well. They just failed to win the playoffs.
They had top-tier talent. You can blame that either on Marvin Lewis.
It's Marvin Lewis. Like, Marvin Lewis was there way too long.
Yeah.
Way too long. Well, they had Andy Dalton there, who was mediocre.
A.J. Green.
A.J. Green. Like, how are you not T.J. Houshmandzadeh? Like, how are you not able to
Chad Ochocinco? Like, how do you not win
a
playoff game?
Yeah, that's with Carson Palmer, though, as well, right? And I don't know if Houshmandzadeh was there during Andy Dalton. Maybe, like, the last couple of years of Houshmandzadeh was there with Andy Dalton. But still, like, You had weapons.
And the defense was usually pretty decent. But it was just like they couldn't win playoff games, and it had to be because Marvin Lewis.
And that defense, that was getting a little bit crazy. But here's the thing, though. They never had superior quarterback play.
No.
They got it now with Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow is Joe Cool. He is Joe Fire, man. This dude, it can play. He can sling it. He's got the moxie. He's got the IQ. And, you know, E. Hogan used to say this all the time. Like, when he was under Joe Brady's tutelage at LSU, he was not going to class. He was a grad student.
Yeah.
He might have had one class, but his class was to learn football.
Basically,
like, that was it. That's what he was doing. He had a year under everyone while people were having to go through the, you know, the day and day in and outs of just
the student
stressors of the student body, of the student life. Joe Burrow was already starting his path to being a professional quarterback, and you're seeing it unfold on the gridiron right now, and it doesn't hurt to have Ja'Marr Chase, the guy you did it with at LSU.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of chemistry there, but we also have to give a shout out to the other rookie in McPherson. Nailed that kick.
100.
I mean, they said
and rookie kickers are shaky, man. Like, you know, coaches don't want to put any you don't want to put the game on the line for a kicker regardless, let alone a rookie kicker.
No, and I mean, it can a kicker can make or break, you know, your quarterback lineage or career, essentially, you know, when it comes to what people are going to talk about later on after you retire from the game and stuff. And it's like Burrow is getting to write another chapter in what can possibly be a start of a great legacy for him in quarterback play for Cincinnati, thanks to McPherson being such a cool and composed customer, you know, at the very end of a big playoff game, considering that they know that Cincinnati hasn't had this type of playoff success since the 1980s. I think I was born at that point in time, but just barely.
I want to say 89.
When did they make 89. Super Bowls? 88?
87, I believe, is when they went to the Super Bowl against San Francisco. No, I'm wrong.
Because they had Ken Anderson at quarterback.
86, I believe.
In the icky shuffle.
86 is, God, no, 86 was the Bears.
Yeah.
Maybe 88.
85, I think it was 85.
It's 88.
88? 88. Thank you, Sam. Yeah, because 87 was the Giants. 85-86 Bears.
Mm-hmm.
87 Giants. Denver as well was there. And then after that, yeah, 88, man. It would have had to have been, and Sam confirmed it.
Yeah, because 90, 91 is the Giants.
Boom. The icky shuffle, baby.
Cowboy runs.
Icky shuffle. All right. So, are you a fan of what you saw, the product of football that you saw yesterday? I enjoyed it thoroughly. 19-16 was great, and then 13-10. Like, I'm tired of these. And don't get me wrong. Like, the league is built for quarterback play, excellent quarterback play, proficient quarterback play to where you're going to score, you know, in the 30s and in the 40s. People like to see points on the board. I get that. And this is maybe just because I have a defensive pedigree. I enjoy really good grinding out football, like strategic football to where, all right, nothing's working. You know, clearly our script isn't working. The defense have come to play. They, you know, they know they've scouted us well enough to know where we're going to zig, we're going to zag. To me, I think it just makes for better football. And it's just, maybe it's the nostalgia of 90s football to me, but that was just, I don't know. I believe that was the golden era of football for me. Maybe it's just because I was a kid. I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's tough to say.
I always remember Jim Harbaugh. I always remember the playoff game, Jim Harbaugh, Captain Comeback Jim. And he wasn't the greatest quarterback of all time. No way. No how. But him taking the Colts into the play. I think they beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
One year.
With the 95.
90, yeah, 95, man.
Because they get to the AFC Championship.
The championship,
game.
Yeah, man.
And they lose to the Steelers.
Neil O'Donnell and the Steelers. And then the Cowboys
destroy them.
Yeah.
Neil O'Donnell on the Steelers throwing
two interceptions to Larry Brown. How about that?
Yeah, that guy made a lot of money after that game, thanks to Neil O'Donnell. And then Neil O'Donnell got paid because then he went to the Jets.
Yeah, Maryland quarterback, Neil O'Donnell.
I mean, at least got to a Super Bowl, man. Not everybody gets to say that.
Tom Brady can all the time. All right, we got to take a break. Don't go anywhere. On the other side, we're going to continue to talk about football, the divisional round here, Sunday slate. We also got to talk a recap about your Texas-Oklahoma State matchup. That's right, man. Longhorns got away with the win, 56-51. Improves the 14-5. We will talk about that as well. Don't go anywhere. The Wagon Wire, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Stream it live, hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagon Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagon Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Every hour brought to you by Tomacane Audiovisual Consultations. 512-255-8678. That is the number for audiovisual consultations. You can reach them on their website as well, avconsultations.com. For 31 years, over 31 years, they have been setting the standard in audiovisual automation. If you don't know what you want in your house for like your man cave or your home theater system down in your living room, or maybe even a TV on your patio for your pool or whatever on a nice breezy day, why don't you go to the website avconsultations.com and look at the gallery of projects they've done over the past 31 years. Surely you'll get an idea. They have covered everything. If it's a gloomy day or windy day and you can't get out to the links, maybe Tomacane can put a golf simulator in your room as well, or in your house as well. He can do it all. AV Consultations, 512-255-8678, avconsultations.com. Welcome back to the Wagner Wire. All right, as we get going here, we talk a little bit about Texas basketball, 14-5. Has this team been, would you say, above or below or maybe even at standards to where you think they should be?
Oh, man. The reason why that is the toughest question is because I think that really should be kind of more set towards like fan expectations. Like, were they really high coming in? Because
very
then you're going to be disappointed.
This is the Texas Longhorn fan base. Expectations are always high.
Yeah, right? But I'm just like, how high?
Unrealistically high.
Okay, so yeah, then if you're looking at like a Texas Longhorn homer, which again, thank you for listening because I'm sure that's the reason why you're listening to the station, then yeah, you're probably disappointed because you expected a cleaner run. But I mean, right now, 14-5 with a bunch of guys that haven't played together with a brand new head coach and who is just really kind of getting a feel for everything around here, who has the pedigree that he has, obviously, with the success that he's had in the past. I think that you're all right still, right? The Big 12 is actually a pretty difficult conference this year.
Oh, I mean, it's one, Justin, I'll die by this. Right now, I believe that the Big 12 is, or even in the past couple of years, I mean, look, you got Baylor, Kansas, yeah. Texas even. I mean, you got some juggernauts in this conference. I would say that it is I'm going to regress. It's not the number one conference in the league, right? Or in college basketball right now. It's number two.
But I can agree to the assessment.
The 10's number one. Big Ten's number one.
But I think you'll agree to this assessment that there's like no easy game in conference action.
100%. Like it's all they're all tough plays.
Yeah, even the team that's at the bottom, you know, they can steal one away from you.
You just know each other so well. That's the thing.
Yeah, and the competition's pretty tight. I mean, the talent level is pretty on par throughout the whole league basketball-wise. And don't get me wrong, yeah, you have a team like Kansas that's one of those blue bloods that's usually going to have better recruits than some of the non-traditional blue bloods of the college basketball world, but we see that shifting too. So it's really, it's an interesting question because it's like, yeah, obviously if you're expecting national championship run year one, you're going to be disappointed. But if you're looking at this more pragmatic, like how I tend to look at most of these things, it's just like, nah, man, he's right where he's going to be. And what you want to see right now is just them kind of mesh well for right. them to get ready for a big run through the Big 12 conference tournament and hope that it won't take them winning that tournament to get into the big dance.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I don't think people look at conference play, interconference play, that closely. Like, I mean, look at the slate yesterday, right? Kansas, number 7 Kansas. Barely beats Kansas State. Beat them by 3.
Yeah.
You know, on the road at Kansas State. But again,
that's what's expected, though.
Right. Like, each team, and that speaks to our point, like, the teams, there's so much IQ. There's so much good basketball acumen between all these ball players. They just know, and they're well coached, too. They know each other. They know all the teams in and out. They know. They got great scouting reports. They know what they know the tendencies of what each team wants to do. And again, it comes down to execution on the floor.
But you know, as much as we love to talk about and build the team concept and coaching and basketball, the truth of the matter is, Wags, and to everybody else out there, is that the game of basketball thrives on superstars. And if you don't have them,
you gotta have the stars.
It's really difficult to win. And you think about NBA history, you know, there is always a superstar leading the way because you do need that one player.
At least two. There's at least two on the team.
Ideally,
now.
Yes. You would have two players that just happen to be that smidge better than everybody else that's already a top-tier athlete. And that's like the one thing maybe you can say that Texas is lacking in comparison to the rest of the conference, in some cases, you know, up into that upper echelon of the top 25 in the nation, is that true breakaway superstar that can change the game when your team is struggling.
Right. Now, I'll pose another question to you. If you're Chris Beard, are you frustrated?
Yeah, you're frustrated.
Right? I mean, like, you got to take everything into consideration. Now, he went ahead yesterday, and like, he's gone on and said that this program is a Monday program, meaning it's a championship program. It's going to play on a national championship play on Monday. He believes that this program can get to that type of performance.
Yeah.
if you're Chris Beard, and Longhorn and Lubbock makes a great comment. He's like, absolutely, you're frustrated if you're Chris Beard. He expected, the expectations of this Texas team were to be at least better than Texas Tech, correct?
I would assume right? so, because right? you took their coach. But, I mean, that doesn't mean that you took all their players.
No, for sure. And so are you saying that Chris Beard is still playing with a roster that's not engineered to his optimal, I guess, ideologies, basketball ideologies?
Yeah. I think that would be a really great assessment, but that would also be on him and on his, like, the guys that he did have a chance to bring in. Because this is a much different season as opposed to...
You need better guard play.
Yeah.
You need better... I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I like what Carr brings to the table. I really do. Like, he's got a good bag. He's got an awesome bag. But you got to clean it up. Like, a lot of turnovers, man.
Yeah.
14, almost 15 turnovers in the past couple of games.
You know, for the longest time, Wags, I would say that, you know, the best basketball played here in Austin was on the hilltop at St. Edward's University, because Coach Andre Cook has that team always competing. And what he was doing really well in the last couple of years was getting the transfers that would come in and quickly adapting them and adapting to what they could bring to the table, so he could truly utilize the players that he had held over and utilize the talents of the guys that he got in. That led them to NCAA tournament runs and getting to Sweet 16s. And I think that's just like something that you figure out with these guys, because, you know, the first year that tournament one run was awesome, but the second year they were even better. And you just haven't got to see Coach Beard do that with this team. And maybe that's just like you
It'll
said
come.
Like, maybe they thought they had the guys, but sometimes you just play the games and the guys that you thought were the guys weren't the right fit after all. And then sometimes that happens, you
well,
know?
Here's my thing with this team, right? Is like, and I saw some comments on Twitter yesterday by Trey Elling, and he was dead on the nose with it too. The identity of this team does feel like a Shaka team. Right, because it's lethargic in the half court. It waits till, you know, it's got 10 seconds of shot clock left to play, and then it starts to continue. It tries to, you know, make its move and then get to the cup and fill the basket. You can't do that, or at least with this team, I believe that you can go multiple paces, or you can have a multiple pace with this team. You can go fast, you can go small, or you can go slow. The faster you go with this club, everybody will be able to contribute. Now, am I saying run full court and you know, always be constantly running, you know, for the entire duration of the game? No, but you can still have a fast-paced half-court offense too. It doesn't have to wait until 10 seconds and then start to go through your set.
No, you're right, but that unfortunately is the way that you win
exactly.
tournament
and golf,
basketball.
And not to cut you off, Justin, but Golf Lingo says Shaka is crushing it in Marquette. It's the culture and entitlement football and in hoops. That's
yeah.
That's
Well, Shaka, just because he wasn't
He's kind of on the nose here, dude.
Yeah, well, we all knew that when Shaka left, like, he was going to have a good run at Marquette, or at least I thought he was, just because he had a difficult time here. It didn't mean that he didn't have success. It just wasn't as much as what Texas would expect from him. And that's understandable, man. I mean, the fans' expectations here are heavy, and rightfully so.
You're a blue blood,
and
you're expected to win.
I really don't know where this whole basketball thing kind of started stemming from. Was it because Kevin Durant came to school here all of a sudden? And then,
because Barnes had him.
Yeah, Barnes had good runs.
You know,
but I
damn near. Hell, we were always in the playoffs. Or always in the playoffs. Always in the dance.
Yeah.
Always in, you know.
I just never saw him for like a tournament, like a championship contending team. I just always saw him making the tournament back in the day, and that's where
they made a run. Made a run to the. Sweet 16
with Kevin Durant. But that's what I was saying. It's like, it comes down to superstar play at some point. It's like, yeah, you can have good pieces. And obviously Texas has good pieces, but I haven't seen one player stand out amongst the rest and be like, who is the guy on that Texas team? If you have to wait that long to
If I got to get a bucket, it's Ramey.
Yeah. Like,
if I need a bucket, like, no matter where it's at on the floor, behind the perimeter or cutting, you know, mid-range game,
yeah,
getting
like,
to the cup, it's Ramey.
Yeah, like tight game, you know, you need a basket to win. Who's the guy that the ball needs to go into his
hand? I think Jones is the better sharpshooter.
But you don't have
one
guy?
But the bucket is Ramey.
Okay, see, because the fact that there isn't like a just like one
now,
guy.
No, Carr's bag, he's got a good bag too. But the thing with Carr is that the turnovers are there.
Exactly.
So when this and believe me, that will get cleaned up.
Oh,
that will get cleaned up.
It has to. There's no, you can't be on the court if you're going to be turning over the ball like that, especially as we get closer to the tournament time. And that's why you see a lot of this half court offensive set. He's trying to get them ready and utilize these games.
Right. Because this is what's going to happen in tournament
this
play.
This is how you win, because you know how it's going to be. Nerves are there. You're missing shots. You got to get to the cup. You need to run a play that consists of a couple of screens to get a good look. But defenses are going to be tight. They're going to be running zones most of the time. They're going to be flying all over the place because they know this is their one chance to advance.
But you remember how deadly Baylor was last year because they had such athletic bigs? Their yeah. bigs could run. We have athletic bigs. Our bigs, Timmy Allen can run, bro.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to be able to score too.
Well, not it's gotta get in the cup. 100.
Yeah, I was like,
you gotta fill the basket.
There's been a lot of athletic big guys that played this game, but you know, you need to be able to bring, you got to bring some defense at least. Like, the most important thing for anybody that's going to be playing basketball
gotta
is, like,
stops.
Yeah, as much as you want to score, you got to be able to stop. I mean, stops. Think about Dennis Rodman. You know, he made a whole career off of defense and rebounding. That's all you need sometimes.
And that's why I say advantage, not to go to the pro game real quick, but that's why I say advantage Ja Morant over Luka Doncic at the moment. Ja Morant just has a full, complete game. He gets nasty on defense. Luka, as much as he can score, he's kind of hitting that James Harden category where the defense is kind of, it's not there. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Actually, the Mavs are actually a top 10 defensive team in the league this year.
But it's
year.
Not from Luka.
No, but they play better defense with him on the court percentage-wise when it comes to allowing points per game to opposition. I looked at those stats surprisingly. But yeah, you're right. He's not
takes
like
up a lot of space, but one-on-one, he's a liability.
Yeah, no, he's definitely not the pinnacle of defensive success. But he has improved. He was getting in shape throughout the season,
sure.
And that's something that is an issue with him and his conditioning. But yeah, I mean, this is the Dallas homer in me, you know, because I'm a huge Mavs fan.
I like Dallas
fan.
Too. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. If I wasn't a Wizards fan, I would probably be a Mavs fan.
But, you know, there are moments in your time as you're growing up as a kid, right, that you just starkly remember. And it's like, you know, every time people would always question me, because I live, like, basically in Spurs country. Like, I should be a San Antonio Spurs fan. But it's just like, no, I always just love the Mavs because they had Jason Kidd. And then before that, Derek Harper, Matt, you know, Mike Isolino. You know, guys like that, and it was just
Jim
like
Jim Jones too. At one point, didn't you?
Yeah, Jim Jackson
doesn't.
Yeah, and Popeye Jones.
Popeye
that's
Jones. That's yeah.
But yeah, Popeye. Man. But see, it's like they were awful, and it's like it's, you know, as a kid, I was like, what, six?
And so, this guy named Dirk too, right?
Yeah. Afterwards, yeah. But it's like, you know, kids don't usually like teams that lose, right. Unless somebody makes you like a team that lose. So I just chose them just because I liked them. So, yeah, that's
the
why
only thing the Bullets had, or and the Wizards used to be called the Bullets for yeah. those of you out there that don't know.
See,
that.
That's how you know you're old school.
We had Bernard King. That's about all. We had.
That's all. Yeah. Oh, you had George Mirasan for a little while.
George Mush. Absolutely. Yeah. Coming up, Dan Price, Mark Price's little brother.
That's right.
He could shoot the rock every now and then. And then, you know, once Agent Zero got there, Gilbert Arenas. Yeah, that's when. The Wizard days, that's when it started getting a
dude,
little...
Agent Zero was one of my favorites.
Amazing, dude.
The Hibachi.
Yeah, man.
Dude,
that was fun. Before fun the times, knee injury... Man. Phantom of the Opera, Rip Hamilton.
Yeah.
With the mask. He wore the mask at Detroit.
Yeah, but I was going to say, man, you know, the Hibachi before the knee injury and the gun situation with Jamal Washington in the locker room, yeah. You know, he was awesome.
Arenas was one of the top point guards in the league.
Yeah, that's my favorite style of guard play. I mean, people will call it selfish, but when you can score like the way he could, man, that's so awesome to watch.
Nasty. All right, we got to get to a break. On the other side, we will have Level Up. That's right. Sam's going to lead us in a little bit of... video game talk. Don't go nowhere. It's the Wagner Wire. 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Stream it live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
All right. Welcome back to the Wagner Wire, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com. Myself, Justin the Smash Simmons, and Sam Pikachu, anchoring 3 hours of sports radio. Well, it's more than just sports radio. It's the Wagner Wire with the four pillars of life, where we talk about sports, video games, movies, and music. It's really what holds up the Wagner Wire. The four pillars, baby. And we go to it right now. It's as we welcome back here on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Sam, what are we looking at here today and level up here?
We had a bit of big time video game news this week. So big that Wags actually called me up and was like, hey, bro, I'm just trying to make sure we're going to talk about this on the show, right? So here we are. But $70 billion buyout of Microsoft.
That's a lot of cheese.
Buying Blizzard Activision Blizzard, whichever way you want to call it.
They're here in all, they got some stores and some shops here in Austin.
I believe
Texas.
Blizzard, yeah, is. Obviously, this is a big move because
huge.
Activision owns almost everything. So if you didn't already know, right, things that Microsoft already owns, things like the Fallout series, Elder Scrolls, they own Doom, Quake, Knights of the Old Republic, right?
Bethesda Studios is there, right?
Yes, they own Obsidian, they own Bethesda, stuff like that already. They've been on a bit of like an acquiring run
right.
Over the past couple years where they've been trying to buy more and more studios, obviously trying to get...
It's
dominance.
The console war, right?
Yeah.
This really does stem from, PlayStation 4. When PlayStation 4 was launched in what, 2008 or whatever? Like, PlayStation was killing it, cleaning up
the console. It was the king.
It was king.
And honestly,
Xbox was left for dead almost.
That is part of what is really interesting about this, because after the announcement, not even the deal going through, after the announcement of this happening, Sony's market value dropped $20 billion with a B dollars.
Jeez.
Over the span of hours. $20 billion over the span of hours.
Just out of panic?
Just because it's such a big get. Obviously Sony's been acquiring studios
well, yeah.
too, but they're a lot smaller than this. You get like the Insomniacs, Sony
Studio.
Santa Monica, stuff like that. And it's like they do still make big AAA games, but they're not. They're not already a super conglomerate like Activision is.
Right.
Activision Blizzard.
And when you think of Activision, you think of Blizzard, you're getting your games like Call of Duty, you're getting your games like Borderlands.
Yeah, and so that's a big part of this is because now everyone is talking about, since they have acquired this property, right? Microsoft, obviously proprietor of Game Pass.
Is Overwatch Blizzard?
Overwatch is Blizzard, yeah.
Yeah, that's Blizzard too.
It's a big game.
Well, they're just making it too. They're just about to drop a sequel to that. So that's why, Overwatch was hugely successful. So I don't know why they decided, especially too with Blizzard being such a giant for so many years. I mean, what, they've been doing StarCraft, they've been doing Diablo, World of Warcraft since like the early 90s, you know? A big thing that people are talking about with all these games that they have been making all these years, Microsoft obviously makes Game Pass.
Sure.
I don't know if you're aware. Yeah, you pay a couple bucks a month, you get a whole catalog of games for free that you can play whenever you want.
PlayStation has their catalog too. It's PlayStation Now. It's just not as...
They do, but that is... So PlayStation Now is more like backwards compatibility brought to the PlayStation. You can play like old games.
Graphics?
You can play like... Not even. Streaming like PS3 games, PS2 games, stuff like that. But where Game Pass is different is because you get new games, like day of they came out. Halo. Actually, I ran into this problem with my little brother because I bought him Halo for Christmas, and he tells me, oh, actually, I got Game Pass, so I already have it. And I gave him one of those. That was a middle finger. whatchamacallit? So everyone's really excited because they think that this could mean that there's a lot of Blizzard Activision properties coming to Game Pass now, which... Already, if you didn't have the service, this is even more reason to get it because now their catalog.
So you think Game Pass is worth it? Because I'm reluctant to get it.
How
right?
much is Game Pass?
It's like four.
I think it's like 10, 15 bucks. It's not too expensive. Yeah, it's a month. I think you can buy like a yearly subscription. I think you got to drop like $90, $99, something like
but
that.
But is this on top of the Xbox Gold fee that you have to pay?
Yeah, yes. This is as well as.
See, that's.
Well, so, but here's the difference because.
That's
you
a lot of money, man.
You can, I have Game Pass, but I have PC.
Right.
And so you can get it on right. things that aren't Xbox necessarily, since it's a Microsoft service and not an Xbox service.
Sure. Yeah, you're not just tied to a console.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it's more attractive.
One of the biggest spots that people think this could bring about a bunch of change is obviously World of Warcraft, right? People have been playing this game for years and years and years, and actually just this last year... they got passed as the top MMO by, Wags, you might be a little bit excited, Final Fantasy 14.
How about that?
Really?
Yeah. Final Fantasy 14 is now
online, yeah.
Top of the MMO world.
We've never thought that day would have come.
But what the even Microsoft themselves in this acquisition said that they plan on bringing new life to this stale, they called it stale themselves, game of World of Warcraft. Which is crazy because, I mean, yeah, just a whole new player base of it being free. Like, that's going to bring life into the game just in and of itself, not to mention whatever changes they might
bring. Oh, it'll have in-game add-ons, for sure.
Well, definitely will.
So that's the other interesting part that I was wondering about is, do you think Microsoft can kind of change the microtransactions that have been happening through Activision games like that? Like, I know you were pissed about that battle passes
and
stuff.
It sucks.
Yeah, and so I'm wondering if maybe a little bit more of this, you know, huge company backing can start to move that in a better direction to where maybe they do just go cosmetics
no possible way.
As long as it just stays cosmetics, because when you're buying, like, if you go in-game purchases just to get, you know, for unlockable weapons that are already, you know, beefed up and it's going to make you, you know, just plow down the rest of the, you know, the gaming field, it's gonna suck. Like, why have to pay for a game twice just to get your weapon? You know what
right.
I mean? Like, level it up. Go through a progression status.
And obviously, too, there are non-gaming factors to this because people work at these companies. And a lot of people have been saying that, Microsoft especially has been saying that their biggest aim in this acquisition is to fix what is generally considered a pretty toxic workplace over at Blizzard and Activision specifically.
Yeah, that's been true.
They have had rampant accusations of sexual harassment through their company through the years. They have a pretty bad track record of treating transgender people pretty bad in the company. And actually, this is the craziest part. So the CEO himself, Bobby Kotick of Activision Blizzard, he has already gotten the axe. He's not fired yet. They said, once the deal goes through, you're fired. But because of his current position, dude's making $300 million on the deal.
Where did you get that at?
This was off of Kotaku.
Right on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But he's getting $300 million off this deal.
Wow.
For his current position to get fired. He's making $300 million to get fired.
We live in a great world, man. Can I get fired for $300 million? Please?
Yeah, I take it when you can.
I don't have it.
Now, do you
yeah.
get to collect unemployment when you get that $300 million? I mean, I'm just curious. Because I could use that unemployment.
I mean, it's going to be coming from Microsoft now, right?
My goodness. Sam, great stuff, man. So let me ask you a question. We got like 1 minute left. So what does this mean in terms of the console war? Like, now, will this just have exclusivity games? You know, will Xbox own a whole bunch of stuff like Call of Duty and not allow PlayStation to do that? Because that seems like it would cut down on sales, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's happening anytime soon. That's so much extra money. And actually, too, I was trying to look at just to see who has like bigger market values after I saw that it had dropped like 20 mil, just in terms of putting them as competitors. Sony's current market value, 140 billion. Nintendo's, 56 billion.
Okay.
Microsoft, 2.2 trillion, trillion dollars. Like, that's almost how much money we're in debt as a country, right?
Yeah.
Like,
that's crazy, man.
Phil Spencer, Microsoft CEO, president, basically he says he doesn't consider them as competitors. He considers Google, Amazon, things they could do in the gaming space possibly as competitors. So,
yeah.
Put
things
know.
Into perspective.
I don't know.
Hey, great stuff, Sam. Love the story that you went with here. I don't know why we don't get enough of you. We gotta get you more, baby. We gotta get you more. I need my fix of Sam Pikachu. All right, that's gonna wrap up the second hour here. Don't go nowhere. Excuse me. Yeah, don't go nowhere. On the other side, we got the signature segment of the Wagner Wire. Who do you love? It's the Wagner Wire 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Stream it live at hornfm.com.